If it's possible for you to do so, take your Bibles down and follow along with me as we go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Today our subject is the witness of Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. As I mentioned before, our subject is the witness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I'm not picking on Sodom and Gomorrah to make any kind of differences or anything like that, but I want to tell you right now, we see the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. God made them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are an example of the cost of sin against God. They also set the course of this world and what its future is. Yet in these cities we see the grace of God as well as the future of the believer. Salvation is clearly set forth for our learning as well as a test to see if we are really converted and know the Lord God of heaven. Now, our lesson falls in these categories. First of all, Sodom had two aspects in its sin against God. It is a picture of the ultimate end of the works of the flesh. Sodom and Gomorrah had six specific sins which dominated its behavior. These sins were pride, prosperity, pleasure, pretension, perversion, and prejudice against the things of God. Now, four of these sins are found in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verses 49 and 50. The other two are found in the book of Jude, verses 6 and 7. Now, the sad thing about it is this. These same characteristics abound in the world today. It's a shame and a disgrace that this country, great and rich as it is, has the numbers and numbers and numbers of poor people that are hungry and everything like that. And I'll tell you why. It's because there's a pretension. People, they say, well, they want to help the poor, but I'll tell you right now, they're not helping the poor. And I'll say to you very kindly, the welfare system that we have today, it needs to be completely overhauled and changed absolutely. Because what does it do? It produces lazy individuals instead of helping them get on their feet like we want it to do. These were the characteristics also of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember now, they were rich because they were prosperous. Number two, they were filled with pride. Number three, they were given over to pleasure. And number four, there was a pretension because they did not take care of the poor, as mentioned in Ezekiel 16. And then there was perversion and also prejudice against the things of God. Now, these characteristics abound in the world at this hour. And it's a sad commentary, but it is so. Then we find also, Sodom had a spiritual aspect to it, that God's people can also do the same thing. Now you say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, if you notice, we find in the book of Jude, it tells us that the angels kept not their first estate, but they did what? They went after strange flesh. Now hold your seat as I give you a truth, if I may. Strange flesh means a different kind. And we find it's a violation of God's laws, and these things were to keep us separate, and we find it means leaving behind or abandoning the position and privileges. Now you listen, God's people can do these things. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Whenever an individual disregards the things of God, put it down, they're beginning to go after strange flesh. Now what do we mean by that? And we mean this. When the Lord God of heaven saves us, I'll tell you right now, we are crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto us. Therefore, we are not to love the things of the world, and we find very clearly a lot of people are doing that, and the Lord God of heaven tells us very clearly in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now let me ask you a question. Which do you love the most, the Lord Jesus Christ or the things of the world. James also tells us that friendship with the world makes us enemies against God. Now hold your seat. Listen carefully. God's people today can go after strange flesh because, as I mentioned before, when we are converted and know the Lord Jesus Christ, this world becomes a strange flesh to us because we have been what? We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, which is this world, and we are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so, therefore, if a believer goes after the things of the world again, he's going after strange flesh, like they find the angels did in the days of Noah, and also we find Sodom and Gomorrah did the same thing. Now you say, preacher, why do I tell you this? Because, listen carefully now, God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Judgment will come upon the individuals that do that. The nation of Israel is a classic example in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we find also the Word of God tells us in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. God will judge the nations of this world, and God will judge this entire world. And my friend, God will judge every individual unless that individual comes to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find very clearly judgment is going to come upon the professing church also, because in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we find beginning at verse 17 these words, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, my friend, I hope I've set forth this clear enough. But if I haven't, I want you to take your Bible and you study it for yourself, because we find Sodom and Gomorrah, the witness of it is this. They're an example that God destroyed them, an example to those who after should live ungodly. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody today that doesn't seem to care. Well, my friend, you're one of those that God's going to judge, and you rest assured of one thing. When the judgment of God comes, it will come suddenly, it will come positively, it will come absolutely, and it will come eternally upon those who do not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When an individual is converted, put it down one thing, we can never again be judged. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We are chastised and we are corrected by the Lord God of heaven. And if we continue in that sin as a believer, God will remove us from this earth. And then we'll find that we'll be saved, as it were, by the skin of our teeth. But we find also, we see very clearly, the Lord God of heaven tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And today, we better face it, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going out after strange flesh because it's doing so many things that are contrary to the Word of God as described for us in the second and third chapters of the book of the Revelation. However, there's another lesson here that I want to bring out to you, because the time gets away so quickly that I'll tell you right now, we just have to be extra careful, and so many times we have to cut things down because our time is gone. But there's a second thing. As I mentioned before, Sodom had two aspects in its sin against God. It's a picture of the ultimate end of the works of the flesh. Secondly, it also has a spiritual aspect to it, that God's people can commit the same kind of sins that Sodom and Gomorrah were guilty of. And we find very clearly, I'm not sticking up or defending Sodomites or anything like that, because I'll tell you right now, the judgment of God rests upon those until they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing with every other kind of a sinner. Now in our lesson today also, we find here the sovereignty of God in redemption. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, we read that we find God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, making them an example unto those after that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Here again, we have the sovereignty of God set forth in redemption. How was Lot converted? Well, if you know anything about your Bible, you'll find the whole situation of it is found in Genesis chapter 19. And we find what took place is this. The angels of God came to Lot in Sodom. They didn't have Lot clean up his life or anything like that. They came to Lot where he is. When God sets out to save a sinner, the Holy Spirit does the same thing, because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'll tell you right now, our Lord finds us in our sin, but we don't stay there. The angels of God, because of the grace of God, they sought Lot out of Sodom. The second thing they did was this. Lot had to take a stand for the truth, which is a necessity. When Lot, what did he try to do? He rebuked those Sodomites that were coming after the angels of God. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Lot came out, shut the door behind him of his house. He tried to reason with these people, and they said point blank, they said, we're going to deal with you worse than we did with these angels, or so they thought. And we find Lot, we see very clearly, Lot had to stand against the men of Sodom, or he had to stand on the side of the angels of God. Now you listen, when God begins to deal with an individual, that individual has to take a stand against sin, self, Satan, and the world. Let me repeat that again. When God begins to deal with an individual, God brings the individual to a crossroads. And that crossroads is this. They're going to have to take a stand with regard to sin, self, Satan, and the world. And we find very clearly, man cannot have the world in Christ. Man cannot have his lust in Christ. Man cannot have his self and Christ, because I want to tell you again, salvation is the unconditional surrender of this individual unto the Lord God of heaven, lock, stock, and barrel. Christ becomes our Lord and our Savior, or else we never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Redeemer. But there's another thing. We find not only is there a stand for the truth, a necessity, but then also we find the angels told Lot, go out and tell your loved ones to get out of this city, because there was a sight of impending doom that was a reality to each individual. Lot learned from the angels that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were soon to be destroyed. He didn't know when, he didn't know how, but they told him that God had sent them to do what? To destroy those cities. And I'll tell you right now, that's exactly what happened. And we find, listen carefully now, when God begins to bring an individual under Holy Spirit conviction, that individual knows something about the wrath of God upon him. What do you mean, preacher? John chapter 3 and verse 18 says very clearly, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then we find also the scripture says very clearly, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son of God does not have life. But we find very clearly what happens. We see instead the wrath of God abides upon him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Let me stop right here at this hour, if I may. Do you know what I'm talking about? Has God ever opened your heart, shown you what a sinner you are before him, shown you that you're nothing but sin inside and out? And I'll tell you right now, and he showed you very clearly that you were under the condemnation of God, because the wages of sin is death. Do you know what it means to stand before God as a hell-deserving sinner, and then to have the Lord God of heaven reach down and deliver you? Oh, my friend, today I want to tell you right now, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to reach down and save you. And my hope is that something has been said that the Lord will take at this moment and use it for his glory and maybe your salvation. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.